G'day folks, welcome to another episode of the Snowy's Camping Show. As usual, joined by myself, Ben, and my colleague, Lauren. How are you going today? Flown in the door at the last minute.
Sat
down and started recording.
Yeah, I have.
But we're here as usual. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe either via YouTube, your favorite podcast app, or you can join in on the conversation on our Facebook group, which we're about to change the name of. So
we've been umming and ahhing about it for weeks.
I'm ready to pull the trigger. So by the time this is published, I'm 99% promising. I'm not going to fully commit that we've actually made a commitment to that name change. We've got a really exciting interview today. With a brand that we've dealt with for a long time and a brand that's known internationally, comes with a really good reputation in the pack industry, and that is Deuter.
Yeah.
And we have on the line a representative from TMO Sports, who is the authorized Deuter distributor here in Australia, and we have Manfred Otto on the line to speak to us today. How are you, Manfred?
I'm very well, thank you, Ben and Lauren. Excited to be here, so thanks for inviting me.
Did I say that? Should have asked before the show. Manfred Otto, is that an Australian way to say it? Is there a proper? Because you're from Germany, aren't you?
Yeah. I was born and raised there, and I came out here when I was 25. So your pronunciation is pretty good. Okay. I would say. That's too clear. If you pronounce it to the English way, you're spot on.
Okay. All right. So you work for TMO Sports, and as I mentioned, so TMO is the distributor of Deuter here in Australia, but you've got a long history attached to the brand itself. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came about to be involved with Deuter as you are today?
Yeah, it's coincidental. So I have been involved in the distribution of bicycle parts and accessories since 94, and in one of those travels when we went to the overseas trade shows, it's my partner in crime Matthias Müller and Linda Taylor. We went independently to Germany and caught up with some old friends, and they introduced me to this cycling backpack, and I said, what's this all about? I asked a particular backpack to go riding in. We did a 2-day trip through the Alps, and I really liked the pack. I bought by myself, and then me and Matthias caught up after my return, and I said, mate, I found this great little product. And he says, yeah, wait, I found one too. Let me show you mine first. And he says, okay. And he comes up with a Superbike S, and I had a Superbike S, same pack, same brand, independently. We bought one while we were in Germany on family and business trips. He said, if we both like it that much and the product or the brand isn't in Australia, maybe we should start talking to Deuter about what their plans for Australia are. And that's just how we started up, you know, the communication, and eventually ended up being the distributor for Deuter in Australia.
So my first introduction to Deuter was maybe 2005, I'd say. I bought a couple of pannier bags for my bike at a shop, and someone was like, oh my gosh, these are amazing. Like, you should, you know, get these bags. Never heard of them before. So that was 2005. When did you bring Deuter into Australia?
I tried to look it up. My data goes back as 1998. My gut feeling is that is probably thereabouts when we started. Mm-hmm. And we started in the bike business of all places, because we are a bike as well as an outdoor distributor. And then for a number of years, we looked at the outdoor market, because at the time, the bicycle business for Deuter represents about 15% of their sales.
Okay.
And the outdoor business represents about 85% of their sales. So then we evaluated the outdoor business for a number of seasons to make sure we could come up with a compelling offer. And then a few years after, we then started to distribute the outdoor products in addition to the bike products.
Okay. Right.
Most of what we carry, we had to travel, because you do some travel things as well, but most of what we carry are the hiking packs, but there are some kind of hybrid hiking cycle, even I think even running packs
and day packs and stuff. Yeah.
So it's an extensive range. So that's a history of you. What about the history of Deuter itself? How far back does Deuter go?
Sure. Now, Deuter was started in 1898 by Hans Deuter. That's the gentleman's name. And they started that in Augsburg in Germany. And it was basically all around things to do with sewing fabrics. So at the time, obviously, it was all natural fibers, and they started making the mailbags for the Bavarian Mail.
Yeah, right.
And over time, then they went into, as I said, sewing fabrics from the tents that they use in the Oktoberfest, for example. They were made by Deuter. They then also made truck covers. And then at some stage, they moved into 1910. Then they moved into the fabrication of backpacks. In addition, they also had a leather goods arm, where they again sold different leather goods together. And they have done a lot of things over the years, always revolving around sewing fabrics.
So that's pretty cool. It's like the people whom I bike pannier bags made Oktoberfest tents in the early 1900s. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So well, that's, it's 120, 130 odd years of history in
yeah.
sewing.
And I mean, for most Australians, they'd be like, yeah, Oktoberfest, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's a cool fact that most people wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the range is, as we mentioned before, bike, outdoor and hiking. Travel, obviously trekking, the larger scale packs as well, the current range. Is there anything else that it delves into at the moment, the Deuter brand?
Yeah, Deuter is very big in mountaineering. Anything to do with ski, whether it's freestyle, skiing, backcountry skiing, snowshoeing, because the Alps are so much more accessible in Europe. So it's not a big deal for you to go to the snow in an hour or two, have a great day out in the snow or stay overnight or camp, whatever you're into, and then head back. So their skiing pack is immense. We do also do a range of fanny packs. So if you either want to have a backpack for your child or if you want to carry your child on your back, Deuter virtually whatever it is that you want to carry efficiently and comfortable on your back, there would be a high chance that Deuter's making a product to suit that application.
Yeah, like the kid comfort range, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they've always been popular. Obviously, mountaineering and snowpacks, I imagine we do a little bit of that in Australia, but certainly not as much as the hiking and outdoor range. So that is kind of what we thought we'd focus on a little bit here. But so we go to the day packs, hiking packs, travel packs. There's obviously a lot of it's price-driven, but some packs are really basic without, I guess you could call it a harness system. It's just sort of some straps and some padding. And then others that have quite an extensive harness system. Can you run through the advantages or guidelines for people who are trying to work out if they need to get a technical harness or not in a day pack or a rucksack?
Sure. I mean, in 98% of the cases, you will always get a technical bag system if you purchase a Deuter backpack. Probably in the day pack area or cycling area, you get the air stripe bag system, which spaces the pack off your back to promote airflow. And then you've got two ridges that running along the spine of the pack that shape this way. And they've got little cutouts made through them to, again, promote airflow. Because when you're buying a Deuter product, it's a premium end product, and you always want to make sure it's doing the application that's designed to do to the best of their ability. And, for example, air stripes we use heavily in cycling packs simply because when you're aggressive mountain biking, you want to form as much of a unit with your backpack as possible to keep you as central and stable as possible. So therefore, we have the load a little closer to the cyclist's body to form a unity with the cyclist. While still giving him a technical pack to promote airflow while he's using the pack. I mean, that's one of the bag systems we use. Then in the day pack area, we introduced the air comfort bag system, which is basically where Deuter has created a gap between the pack and the wearer's back. That, again, reduces perspiration up to 25%, and if you're not perspiring as much, clearly you don't need to drink as much, so you don't need to carry as much water. You're far more comfortable, and you know, your rainwear can work as designed because there's airflow there. And we all know the layering system to get the moisture off your skin, work it through the various layers of fabrics you're wearing. But if the moisture is then trapped on the outer layer because there's no airflow between the pack and the clothing, then your system just has to work harder to keep the body cool.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a massive difference if you you're just going for a day hike, couple of hours, and you're wearing a day pack that's got good structure and airflow versus one that just goes on your back, you know, and just hangs there. It's definitely
I've never
a lot
really,
more comfortable.
Never really thought of it like that, but that's a really good point that that airflow enables – you're not just thinking about the pack, but you're thinking about the whole clothing system that they're wearing, because a waterproof fabric requires the ability to breathe. And I've never really put two and two together there, that that gap then allows that space for that that rain fabric to breathe. And, yeah, that's a really good point. I've never used that when I've been speaking to customers before, but I've learned something today.
One of, you know, the most common questions when people are looking at getting a pack is a travel pack or a hiking pack. And, I mean, sort of looking at them both hanging on the rack, it's hard to immediately tell what the advantages are and the differences are. In terms of Deuter's sort of travel packs versus hiking packs and things like that, what are the key differences and elements of the design there?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think to the novice or someone who's just emerging themselves into the that activity, they're the similar size, similar price points, so which one do I choose? And it's good to have someone to talk to and engage with them and figure out the pros and cons so the customer can make a good decision. It's predominantly all based around two things, really. A, how long are you going to have the pack on your back? And B, how convenient is it to use? So when we are thinking about the two different uses, if you talk a hiking pack, for example, you're walking for extended periods of time, so maybe 4 to 6 to 8 hours, whatever motivated you are, to get from A to B, and you want a pack that's extremely comfortable so you don't feel like you're carrying or you're carrying as little as possible on your back, while the loads are quite substantial, because if you're carrying shelter, food, clothing, cooking, water, it does add up. If you compare that to a travel pack, which you predominantly having on your back, maybe to and from any means of transport you might be using. So maybe it's a K, K and a half. If you're somewhere where it's either really hilly, so it's not so convenient, or the roads aren't great, whether they're unpaved or cobblestone, whatever they might be. So the duration to have it on your back is somewhat limited. However, if you then get to your destination and it's a hostel or hotel or motel, wherever you're staying, a travel pack is far more convenient to use to get goods in and out of, because you can open it up a little bit like a suitcase. So it's easier to live with while you're at your destination, whereas a hiking pack is far more comfortable to carry over longer distances compared to a travel pack.
And hiking packs are usually top loaded, aren't they? They all sort of filter in through like a roll down top or a zippered top, whereas travel has the flexibility of both often, yeah?
Yes, that's probably, that is definitely the case. So with a travel pack, you have like one large opening, you undo one zipper and you're in the main compartment. You might have an internal division if you choose to use it or not. Whereas with a travel pack in Deuter's range, you often have three ways of getting into it. Top loader, you have a front panel as well as a bottom compartment. So you can get to where you want to get to with ease, but maybe not quite as comfortable as you could in a travel pack.
Is there any difference between in the design of the harness and the pack, just with weight distribution and things like that, between a travel pack and a hiking pack?
As I mentioned before, in Deuter's range, you're always comfort is their most important aspect in designing a pack. So even our travel packs, you will get a waist belt that's designed to carry the weight. You will get a comfortable harness, and you'll get some height adjustment in the back system in the travel pack. However, in our hiking packs, that is taken up a notch or two further to, again, give you greater longevity, greater airflow. For example, in the hiking packs, we're using our Air Contact back series, which again, promotes airflow, and it reduces perspiration that we have clinically tested by up to 15%, which is over prolonged periods very important. Similar reasons to the comfort back series. Whereas in a travel pack, you're unlikely to carry it for such long distances. So the degree of breathability is reduced, but it's still there.
Okay.
So you're still getting a reasonably effective, a very effective harness system, but obviously not as effective simply because the duration you're using it is not as long.
So my understanding also with a travel pack versus hiking is the orientation of it, the weight distribution when you pack it. Carrying a travel pack's a bit like just strapping a suitcase straight to your back. It's just a massive weight hanging at the back, whereas a hiking pack, the load, you got to pack the pack right as well, don't you, to make sure the load is, the heavy stuff is in the right position to work with the harness to make it comfortable.
Yeah, it is the underlying aspects, with like I mentioned before, in the cycling pack, the same applies to a hiking pack, just in an XL version. So, yes, the loading of the pack's important, you know. I think most people, if they're new to the hiking, they probably make the mistake and put the heaviest goods in the bottom of the pack instead of loading it in sort of center of the pack close to the spine. That's where the heaviest goods would be, and then you filter the next heaviest loads around that. Whereas in a travel pack, again, because the duration isn't as long, it's probably more comfortable if you pack it in the same way, but probably less important because the duration is not as long.
Yep.
So I think that's one of them is, I guess, where you put the load in the pack. And the next important one would be how to actually put the pack on and what do you do with all the straps that come on those packs.
Yeah, because obviously if you've got a travel pack, you're chucking it on and off airplanes or underneath buses or on train racks, and you've got straps and bits and pieces and conveyor belts and all of that sort of jazz. So that's obviously a design consideration with travel packs as well.
Yeah, we're trying to tuck it in as much as we can. At times, if you want to have greater longevity out of your travel pack, you know, it's always great to have like a tote bag to put your bag in. In Deuter's travel range, we have one that doubles up as a rain cover as well.
Okay.
So you can, if you're in inclement weather at your destination, you're walking with your travel pack, slip it over, or if you're checking it in as a piece of luggage, you completely seal the harness system up so nothing can get caught or damaged in transit. So that's clearly important because it's all about longevity of a product.
Mm.
You know, that's a key aspect to Deuter. You know, you're buying a premium end product. You want to make sure you get the greatest possible lifespan out of it by looking after it and preventing as much as possible accidental damage.
Does the same mentality go apply to day packs as well? Because you've got a lot of packs that kind of look similar. Let's say they have the same harness, but one's a top loading, say 25, 30 litre day pack, and another one's a zippered 25, 30 litre day pack. It's the same mentality there, that the zipper just allows easier access than the top loading, but can't be packed in quite the same way to distribute the weight. Well, what considerations would you advise?
Yeah, there? I'd say probably a top loader is predominantly used for hiking, you know, maybe a day hike, and the needs to take more equipment and carry loads for a longer period of time in more comfort would be the key focus. Whereas you're using a zippered pack, you might not want the same sizing, or you want easier use, or it's a visual appeal as well because it looks less outdoorsy and you probably look more fashionable if you're jumping on and off public transport or going to the office.
Mm.
You don't look like you're going for a bushwalk in your lunch break. So that's, you know, it's a personal choice really.
Yeah, okay.
So based on what we've just talked about, Manfred, do you think it would be fair to say that if you're someone who's not really sure if you should get a travel pack or a hiking pack, maybe you plan to do a bit of both activities, the hiking pack would probably be the better choice because it still has versatility to use in travel, but it means you'll be able to be comfortable in hiking, whereas a travel pack doesn't necessarily have that same sort of backwards compatibility with exercising or active.
Sure. There is, you could do that for sure. There's then also another category that we've then, or Deuter has created, which is a hybrid pack. which is sort of a balance between the two. So you get the comfort in terms of carrying it of a trekking pack, but you get the ease of use of a travel pack within reason.
Okay.
You get your little day pack that you can use for day excursions while you leave the big pack in your accommodation. You could strap the day pack to the harness of the larger pack when you're going on and off transport to make it easier for you to have your travel documents handy. If you're in some areas of the world where pickpocketing is a big thing, it's probably less desirable to have all your valuables in your day pack strapped to your main pack out the back where you can't see it. So there's lots of categories within Deuter that will do a job. It's just finding the best balance for each customer is what pack will do that job the best. But often, and that's the challenge, is you buy a backpack and it becomes your jack of all trades. You take it to the beach, you go traveling, you travel for work, you go shopping with it, or in a larger pack, you do a three Capes walks in Tassie, you go to Kathmandu, and then you go to Europe. Am I going to buy another travel pack or do I use my hiking pack?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. It's just choices.
Yeah, okay. Now, I want to move on to some of the technical things. You're done with this section here? Yep. So capacity. I'm really interested to hear your take on how capacity is measured in a pack, and if it's something that a consumer can look at on a consistent level across all brands. Like, are they all measured the same, or do some people just take a guess?
I can only speak for Deuter.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Deuter brand, how we establish the volume is we actually fill the pack with rice.
Rice?
Uncooked rice. Simply because.
Thanks for clarifying, uncooked.
It's not sticky rice. While it's lovely to eat, maybe not ideal to measure the size of the pack.
Yeah.
Reason why we use rice is because simply it's quite small. It gets into all the little nooks and crannies, and it fills the pack to the maximum capacity to establish the volume. And then obviously we empty the pack and we measure how much volume of rice did that particular pack hold.
Wow. There's no standard. I always thought there were foam balls or something that brands used, and I think that's really cool. I just am picturing these massive vats of uncooked rice that you've got or daughter's got in their factory to fill their packs with. Mm. That's a lot of rice.
Mm.
But there's obviously no standard way of doing it. Those who say they use foam balls or whatever, that's just another way that they
do
it.
Sleeping bag comfort ratings, you know, has an EN standard, but there's no backpack capacity standard?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And that's obviously always an interesting fact. And sometimes dealers or consumers ask me, what size pack do I need? And I said, from experience over the years, I know Deuter is on the generous size. So what we would call maybe a 55, 60 litre pack, in other brands, maybe not quite the same in literage. So that's where it always pays to get to know the brand and talk to your retailer to figure out what size pack would be the recommended size in a given brand, because they're not all the same.
So it's a guide. The numbers are a guide, I think, is probably a good way to take it. So when you fill the pack, do you fill all the pockets, like the side stretchy pockets and everything, or is it just the main portion of the pack?
Again, I would love to say it's 100% consistent, and we are probably 98% consistent. But at some stage in the past, for example, the side bellows pockets, those was an additional 3 liters. You know, to be get the information right when you're making a purchase decision on the swing tag on the pack when it's in the store, you'll find a size indication of what that is. And often in brackets, it says, for example, on a Futura 36 plus 3, and then in brackets another 2 liters in size for the side bellows pockets, for example.
Okay. Right.
And so we're trying to be as accurate as possible. Again, in the travel packs, for example, often the size of the day pack we don't include in the volume of the main pack.
Okay.
Because simply when you're strapping the little day pack to the main pack, it gets somewhat compressed in size.
Mm.
So how do you accurately determine the size? Is it when it's off and you can fill it? when it's strapped on. So we just ignore, not including it in the size measurement.
Okay. You mentioned before about, you know, sometimes the challenge it can be for people to pick the capacity across brands. Is there a general guide for how big you might want your rucksack to be? Hypothetically, you're a multi-day hiker. You know, you might go two, three nights a couple of times a year, which I think would probably be one of the sort of more common categories of packs we sell.
Yeah.
How do you work out, oh, okay, a 45 plus 10 or a 60 plus 10? Do you have a sort of way of narrowing that down for people?
We've made some recommendations on the Doita, .com website. So okay. Depending on what activity you want to undertake, there is recommendations there. And then, again, one fact to consider is what sort of a trip is it? You're in the tropics, you're down in Tassie. Do you carry your own shelter? Do you stay in huts? So that does, of course, vary in the equipment quantity or the type of equipment you're taking. And I think the other important factor to consider is to look at your whole gear list as a holistic approach. So what I mean by that is if you're buying a lightweight pack, that's awesome. But then you maybe not haven't purchased or have in existence a long-lasting sleeping bags or cooking gear. So if you're buying everything lightweight, if continue with that story right throughout, you probably get away with a smaller pack. And that is something to take in consideration, not just looking at each piece of the equipment individually. Look at it across the board. Where would I like to end up? Am I going for traditional hiking equipment, or do you want to go extremely light on everything that I purchase? And there is some significant weight savings to be made in if that's of importance to the customer. But lightweight, those equipment doesn't always have the same lifespan as traditional hiking equipment.
Yeah, because it's made with lighter weight materials with a focus on being lightweight performance rather than longevity, I suppose.
Correct. And, you know, I think that's also how consumer behavior is changing as well. Whereas in the past, we may have gone two or three times a year for a week or 10 days hike. Nowadays, we might prefer to go, you know, for shorter duration and more frequent. So instead of going for a week or two, we might want to go for 3 days, like you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you don't need to carry as much gear. You don't need to have everything then changes to a degree, what you might want to choose to purchase.
Now, you guys have a pack sizing that's called SL, which I think it's under stands for slimline, which is I guess focused towards a female fit more so. Can you just briefly outline the differences there?
It's Deuter's most important aspects when designing a pack is comfort. That's the first and foremost design aspect. So we've had the SL range in the range for quite a while, and we're trying to make it more than just about color. The most important part, and I'm talking about averages now, the shape of the pelvis between male and female varies quite dramatically. Whereas in a guy, the pelvis is more or less a straight pelvis, whereas females tend to have more conically shaped pelvis. And in order to get the best possible comfort and load transfer onto the pelvis, we shape the waist belt in an SL pack conically. That means it's sitting on the pelvis like that rather than straight as it would do on in a regular fit. In addition, most females are shorter than guys, so the overall back length is reduced by a little bit. And because females are shorter, we also can reduce the length of the shoulder straps. And those small adjustments may mean that on average, an SL pack fits better on a female and a regular fits better on a male customer.
Okay.
But there's nothing to say, just for argument's sake, swap them over. So if you've got a guy who's maybe finely built or a youth who hasn't filled out yet, hasn't got his strengths, he might find an SL fit a better fit than the regular. or vice versa, and a lady who was very active and very strong, she might find the other pack a better fit.
Okay. And obviously that smaller back size and everything then obviously usually correlates to a smaller pack as well, so a smaller overall volume, which leads into one last question I had on capacity. And is there guidelines that you guys stick to about how much people should be carrying? I've always thought it was like a third of your body weight or something, but do you guys have any guidelines there?
Yeah, I think the maximum recommended is about 25% of your body weight. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're in the defense force, I'm sure you'll be expected to carry higher, greater weights than that. Mm-hmm. It just depends what are you comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So 25% is probably a healthy load of your body weight. And it depends where you're going. You know, is it really mountainous? Is it uneven? And I always find light and fast works well for me. Mm-hmm. But at times there's a time and a place for everything. You know, when you're down the south coast of Tassie, obviously you're out for a long time and light might not work simply because you're too remote.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Now on that, one of the common questions that we also get around packs, whether that be day packs right through to hiking travel packs, et cetera, is a weight rating of the bag itself. And some brands do provide a weight rating and some brands don't. Based off what you've just mentioned that, you know, say approximately 25% of a person's weight is what they're carrying, would it be safe to say that every Deuter pack at least has the ability to carry at least 25% of your body weight minimum?
I would say yes, of course it does. We get that same question asked often with our kids' carriers as well, especially when we're talking about toddlers, babies, whatever. Everything is sort of geared towards the weight of the person. And in most cases, I say, if you're considering a child carrier, it's not the equipment that will be a limiting factor. It's you. How much do you want to carry in your bag and how comfortable are you in doing so? Yeah. So our bags are definitely designed to carry that amount of weight and probably more. The important factor is, of course, your comfort and what you are comfortable with, and also being shown how to put a heavy pack, how to pick it up, where to pick it up, and how to put it on. Mm-hmm. Because often that's where people might have issues if they're not being shown properly, which is the way to pick up a heavy loaded pack.
So what are the testing regimes around the harness then? Do they have a process of, well, firstly, for how do they test for comfort, and do they go to the point of destructive testing with loading it up to see how much weight can go in a pack? I mean, it would seem excessive given it's the person that's going to break before the pack.
That's a good question, actually. I think what generally happens in Deuter, it's an evolution rather than a revolution in our packs. So we will strive to refine our existing pack range into a more, whether it's fit, comfort, features, sustainability, PFC-free. We are continuously working on the range. And it takes about 4 years for a product that we are either creating or redesigning before it comes to market.
Wow.
So there's a lot of time spent designing, testing, revising, and working on the nuances to make sure by the time the pack hits the retailer's shelf, it's perfect. So if there was any shortcomings in the product, it would show up in that design phase and testing phase.
So in what is sort of driving those changes? Is it just a desire for Deuter as a brand to be committed to continuous improvement, or does a lot of that come from consumer feedback and feedback from retailers and bits and pieces in terms of what gets changed?
To be honest, it's all of the above. I mean, we've just gone through Corona And we've all noticed that customers are doing things differently.
Okay.
The same obviously was noticed in Deutsche. Now, you mentioned early on that you bought your Panniers in 2005, and we in Australia sold a lot of Panniers, but then at some stage, Deutsche discontinued the Panniers. Corona came about. Bicycle use went through its roof. Mm. People prefer to ride their bike to and from work or wherever they're going. So we've created a new range based around urban mobility, mm-hmm. where it becomes more, I suppose, fashionable, waterproof. We're back into Panniers because simply customer behavior is changing. Mm-hmm. Then that's one aspect. The other aspect is, and that's a core focus for Deuter and has been for many, many years, is the corporate and social responsibility that we as a company have. We all enjoy nature and trying to get out there, but what do we as a company do to ensure that the planet we enjoy will remain there for future generations? And a lot of my German suppliers are focused on that heavily. So we are going to totally PFC free in order to reduce the impact that we have on the environment. There's a whole department devoted in Deuter in order to ensure that we are setting the pace rather than following to reduce our CO2 footprint on the environment we're having. So there's a lot of design aspects that drive us to continuously improve, whether it's changing in consumer behavior, whether we can make a pack more comfortable, whether we want to improve the overall appearance of a pack, or whether we just want to reduce our footprint and make sure we are creating a long-lasting product that can be enjoyed for many, many years to come.
So do you have ambassadors as well that test your products, skiers, mountaineers, cyclists that take gear test and provide feedback? That's all part of the program?
Yes, it is. And it's heavily done. Obviously, Deuter is a German company and the head office, they're still sitting in Augsburg, and they are heavily involved in the same way we are, as much as we can in Australia, to shape and design the product. I mean, an interesting one was, that was many, many years ago, when we probably, maybe 15 years ago, we went to Deuter and asked them what they're going to do about travel packs. And Deuter said, "Here, we've got beautiful rucksacks over here." I says, "Yeah, no. Well, what are you doing about travel packs?" And they says, "What's wrong with our rucksacks to travel with? You're nothing. But that's not what we're asking for." And they says, "What do you mean?" It's like, "No, we want a travel pack." I said, "What do you mean? What's a travel pack?" Then we described to them what a travel pack is and why people would use it. And they looked at us and says, "Oh, interesting." Because in Australia, you know, people go overseas for 3 months or 6 months as their rite of passage to explore and live overseas for a while, which is not necessarily something traditionally that a Deuter customer in Europe would have done. They would have traveled maybe for 2 or 3 weeks, used their rucksack because they have it and it's there and it's perfectly capable of doing so. Mm-hmm. But that was a need that we then highlighted to Deuter that we haven't covered. And it says, okay, then if that's how it is, I did their market research and discovered that, yep, there is a market for it.
Yeah, right.
And that's catered for it, you know. So there's lots of reasons, you know, why that could be. And then we introduced our travel range and we showed it at one of the local trade shows. And then the dealer came over and pointed out a couple of features, how you can connect your small day pack to the harness of the main pack. Mm. Deuter hadn't thought about it. Mm. And Deuter said, you know what? That's a great feature. Mm. As we're improving the pack, we'll take that on board. So there's lots of ways. Yeah,
right. Always got the finger on the pulse and always listening to feedback and continually evolving, basically, is the message that I'm getting there.
Just
quickly drawing it back to the harness before we move on, Manfred, what sort of level of adjustability can you get out of an individual harness, and are there different types of adjustability throughout the range of Deuter, or is it all working off exactly the same system?
No, we have got probably 4 main harness systems in the range: the Air Stripes, the Air Comfort, the Air Contact, and the Alpine Back Series. And the larger the pack gets, the more adjustability you can expect. So then we have within the Deuter range, we have the regular fit, then we have the SL, And we also have the extra, the EL, the extra long fit as well. So the regular NSL fit probably cover up to 90-95% of the population.
Okay.
But someone extremely tall might struggle to fit into the regular fit, and therefore Deuter has created the extra long fit.
Okay.
But within each pack, for example, if you take the Air Contact Core 65, there's only one size. So okay. There is not a small, a medium, or a large in the same size, but the pack can be adjusted to suit 95% of the population out there.
Okay.
And so there's no disadvantage, I'm assuming, if, for example, on that 65, you've mm-hmm. got your harness at the absolute smallest possible adjustment levels. There's no difference in terms of then how that pack is balanced on the harness and all of that sort of jazz if you compare it to someone on the extreme other end of that.
Often what, in theory, you're right, there would be an imbalance there, but what happens if you've got the lowest possible adjustment? It's safe to assume you're a smaller person. If you're a smaller person, you will probably get away. You don't need the long sleeping bag. You need a regular fit sleeping bag.
Okay.
Your clothing might be shorter. Your footwear will be less.
So you're de-sizing down generally, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So as I said before, it's all designed as a holistic concept and everything is working with each other. So if you're considering you want the biggest possible pack and you want to load it up to the gunwales, even though you might not need it, then yes, that will be less comfortable, but is that sensible?
Yeah, I see.
And would that be something that the consumer does? Maybe not. Let's hope they get some good advice and guidance, and therefore the pack will be designed and work as intended.
So moving on to more about sort of features and things like that of the pack, what I've personally noticed over time is there seems to be more bells and whistles that you can see immediately on a pack. They're starting to become a bit more clean and slimline and less big pockets off the side and zippers and fancy sort of bits and pieces. So if someone is looking at a pack, in your opinion, sort of from Deuter having that high-end product, can sometimes those aesthetically loads of additional features be a little bit of sort of smoke and mirrors in terms of attracting people to a pack that might not be better for them? And what should people be looking for features?
Well, Deuter tries to put as the features into a pack that the customer for that particular activity needs, but no more and no less. Because there's no point, as you mentioned, having lots of features on a pack that you never need. A, it's costly to put a feature into a pack. It probably adds weight. And if it's not designed to be used, why have it there in the first place? So we are trying to strip it down as much as possible, but obviously it needs to be functional and fully featured. You know what I mean? What we've noticed, for example, the last 3, 4, 5 years in product development, the use of smartphones has increased a lot. So it is now your navigation, it's your camera, it's yours, potentially be used to communicate with the outside world if you're not too far away from civilization. So to have your smartphone more readily accessible in the packs we're designing now is definitely a key feature that probably 5, 10 years ago, that wasn't so much in the core focus. Mm. So again, it depends, is it required? And if it is required, of course it will be there. If it's just to tick a box and, you know, have an Excel spreadsheet to make a pack purchase decision, that's not what Deuter is all about. It's all about the right equipment level for the particular task.
So I guess if you're, a lot of, say, middle of the range packs, as Lauren mentioned, will be hanging on a shelf, will have straps, buckles, pockets for this, pockets for that, all sorts of features all over it. And it's the middle of the range. And I'm not saying it's not worth the money that you'd be paying mm-hmm. for it, but it's great value. And then next to it is a Deuter pack, being a premium product, the price is higher, but visually it's stripped right down. It doesn't have as many of these things over it. Obviously, you've put the research in to make sure that what features do exist on the pack are the actual useful features. So I guess then it's safe to say that that price difference comes down to the must be the quality of the materials that are used in the pack. From and there's a lot that goes into a pack, right? Your webbing, buckles, various materials and different double layer materials in certain spots, all the clips, zippers. Am I safe in assuming that all of those dollars go into the actual construction cost of the pack?
There's definitely you can only end up with a premium product by using premium ingredients. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that the other brands out there don't use premium equipment either. It's more the R&D we put into it and the corporate and social responsibility, which we will take serious, goes from the creation of the fabrics, which chemicals are used to treat the fabrics, to dye the fabrics. How are the fabrics shipped to the factory where daughter packs are made? How are the staff paid? How are the staff working conditions? Mm. Do they have social benefits? Do they have longevity? Do they have career prospects? What do we do with the end of life of a product? What is our policy around there? So there's a lot of things at play in Deuter looking to the future that is important to us as a brand and that comes at a cost. And it's not all about the product you're buying today. It's about doing the right thing going forward and making sure we can preserve the environment that we all enjoy when we're out there on a walk.
How good is that? Thinking ahead.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, the first thing that comes to mind for me is thinking about exped mats, for example, going on a little bit of a tangent here. When people were looking at those compared to another mat, the price point is reflection of, like you say, that R&D and that product development and exped having total conscious involvement and control in every single stage of the process. Whereas a comparative brand might, you know, pop to their factory and be like, oh, next year we would like to run a mat that ticks these boxes. What can you make for us? And that sort of is the extent of that. So for me, I'm very much sort of understanding that that same thing applies to Deuter, whereas some other brands that produce packs might literally just be going to their manufacturer and saying, you know, we want a pack in black and blue and we want a couple of pockets and some zips here and want it to sort of tick these boxes. What can you make for us? Whereas Deuter's got this, you know, 4-year long process of every single tiny element being considered in more ways than just how it fits on your body, but how it fits in the world as we know it now. So, yeah, that's pretty impressive.
So we've got,
if it does, Philip, sorry, you go ahead, Ben.
I was going to move on, but if you've got something to add to that, then you jump in now.
Yeah, I mean, for example, what Deuter do, which is something that we haven't strayed from, is obviously we started production of our products in Germany, and then in the mid-80s, it was no longer feasible to produce in Germany. So we then partnered up with a factory in Vietnam. And we've been using the same factory ever since. So and that factory exclusively makes Deuter products. And because of the really close working relationship we've developed over many, many years, they know what quality Deuter expects. We know what quality the factory can produce. And if you consider that the average product in Deuter is made out of 200 different individual components that are all sewn together, and the failure rate we're having or the warranty rate we're having is extremely low simply because of that good working synergy. That's why it's important to us to look after everyone in the chain to make sure, A, it's sustainable and we can continue that for years to come rather than changing the factories, you know, from season to season.
Awesome. So, we're at 50 minutes, so I reckon we should move on to some questions because we've got a note about ultralight packs, but you inevitably covered on that before, and there's another question here about ultralight packs. So
we've got some listener questions here, Matt, for just a couple of them, just three.
Which we sort of covered off on some of it, but we'll run through them.
Yeah, we'll run through them anyway. So Chris from Facebook has said that he's still using his Deuter Quantum that he bought in 2008, which he loves, and it's still as good as new. Sort of like my Panny is coming up 20 years now.
Yeah.
In terms of questions, I guess I'm curious if much has changed in the last 15 years and any new innovations or technology that I might be missing out on. So obviously you've covered your social responsibility, but what else in someone who has a 2008 pack might be missing out on in the current range?
The longevity is Deuter's main aim. If your pack bought in 2008 is still going strong, our mission is accomplished. That's a long time for a pack.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're enjoying the use of it. Is there new features? Of course there is. But if your pack's still going strong, your pack's going strong. Keep using it because that's the biggest thing you can do for our environment is get the maximum use out of it. You know, if you decide there's a different activity you want to do, of course there's new packs. I mean, biggest thing is we're going more to more recycled fabrics, which is big. Also, we're using PFC-free fabrics. But in Chris's case, we've already made the expenditure for the resources. So the biggest thing is keep using it.
Nice.
The second one is Josh here from Facebook, and it's quite a long question, so I'll try and paraphrase a little bit. But he wants to know if a truly waterproof backpack is possible. It sounds like he does a fair bit of activity from day packing, hiking, cycling, and kayak. And he says that in that scenario, he's got very watertight bags that he used for boating and storage on the car that get bombarded by rain, water, but he's never found a waterproof backpack to ever be truly waterproof. So is that, I don't recall Deuter having a water or claiming to have a waterproof backpack, but have you got any insights on that?
Yeah. The 2023 range, it's about to land at the end of this month, now March 23. And we are going back into some waterproof products, which I'm talking about sound and tight as well, top closure. So we're talking, I guess Josh was referring to submersible rather than being rained upon. So we are entering into that space, but not in every category. Because to make a full-blown waterproof hiking pack, the cost would be astronomical. And is that the best way to achieve waterproofness?
Yep.
Or would it be better with a dry bag inside a traditional hiking pack?
Yeah. I assume the cost is because you've got so many stitching points through all the fabrics, you've then got to waterproof those stitching points.
And that, also that then becomes costly. Zips, you know, it's like if you have waterproof fabric and you seam tape, that's great. But then you add the elements of zips and all of those other components, it's just very sort of next level affair, isn't it, really?
Yeah, as I said, you know, for us, whenever you're good and ready to get your next panniers, Lauren, have a look at our new roll top closure panniers, which are beautiful.
Okay.
And they definitely are submersible. But in a backpack, yes, we've got some. We've got a cycling pack that's fully waterproof. We've also got a mountaineering pack, a lightweight one that's fully waterproof coming out. So we are going into that space, but in limited areas.
Okay. That's good to know.
All right, last question.
So Lynette from Facebook is, does Deuter intend on going down the path of ultralight, thinking Dyneema packs and things like Zed packs, for example, and Bonfus are a couple of brands that stand out. Is there anything like that you've got on the radar?
If the application requires it. So we have done a backpack for trail running, which is extremely light. We've got our Speedlight series, which is light, but not to the extreme level that some other brands have taken it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it depends on the application and comfort in mind. So if you go extremely light, maybe comfort is compromised beyond the level that Deuter says it's comfortable. But if the consumer behavior and the product demand changes, we will adapt to that.
Okay. Yeah, because they still those Dyneema ultralight packs are still very much a small percentage, I would say,
and very expensive.
Yeah.
I
mean, you've got I know you done the air contact light, but there's even like a lighter air contact light in the range that we've got now. I can't remember what it's called. It's that beautiful pink color. And it's like, I have a hiking pack, but I want to buy that because it's so lovely.
I reckon consumers can just put confidence in Deuter's research already and know that you guys have already done the research. If you go any lighter, it's going to get uncomfortable.
Yeah. You guys do some pretty light ones already. I have a question that's based purely on, cult commentary across hiking forums and all that sort of jazz. There's whispers that maybe external frames might be making a retro comeback. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Never say never, right? I am not aware of that. That's something that Deuter has on the drawing board, unless it's for historical value. Clearly, we've done that in the past in the same way that we used cotton canvas.
Yeah.
But to use external frame packs, hey, I'm not aware of it, haven't seen or heard anything, but you'd be the first to know.
Okay, awesome.
Hey, that was awesome. I've learned a lot about Deuter, and I hope our listeners have learned a lot too, and just injected the confidence in the brand, everything from design and manufacture to sustainability and just being a good, honest,
and when
quality
you're just
company.
Looking at a pack and what to go with, having confidence to be able to make a choice and know that you're buying something that is going to, A, last you a long time, as we've had a couple of examples with the Deuter brand, and B, it's got the quality.
Well, we've got Deuter in the range of Snowies. I think we've just got some new packs in. I think there's still a few more on their way in at this stage.
Yeah, we're early 2023. We're starting to get some little biking bits and pieces in as well in our range for anyone out there who's a cycling tourer or
Maybe. I'm not sure. Yeah, definitely in the hiking range though. Awesome brand. So check them out online at Snowies. And also Deuter.com, I think, is what you said, where you've got your that little tool to help people pick what size pack they need as well. I'll go check that out soon.
Yeah, it's a great resource if in case you want to research what we do, our social responsibility pack lists, God knows what else, just feel free to have a look. I mean, I'm on a tangent here again.
Oh, you're fine.
Deuter reached out to us a couple of months ago, six or 12 months ago, and asked us, hey, do you want to put your hat in the ring because we're looking for some unusual travel destinations? You know, do you have anything in Australia that maybe someone wants to know more about? They said, sure I do, yeah. And I then reached up to the Biblum Track Foundation and said the Biblum Track should be something that's part of that that story from Deuter. And we worked really closely with them. We made it on the list and there's lots of exciting destinations you might want to have a look at, and Australia's represented in Deuter. So, we're pretty stoked about that.
That's awesome.
So, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all good.
Hey, Manfred, thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it. It was a great chat.
No, thanks for having me, Ben, along. That's been good, and I hope you get great mileage out of it. And the customers have been helped out by making the product research and product decisions and based on some more information they got from having a chat.
Awesome.
I'm sure they'll find it useful.
No worries.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that was that's Deuter. That was cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was a good chat.
Yeah, check them out online at snowies.com.au. And as usual, or if you want to join in the conversation on Deuter, do so on the Snowies Facebook, Snowies
Facebook group.
Facebook group. I got mixed up there. We're there. If we've got any questions, we'll see if we can get in touch with Deuter and or Manfred and get the answers for you. But otherwise, we'll
see you next week.
Thanks, guys. See you later.